All right, welcome to the Train Smart podcast with Velox Training Group. I am Nick Young, the host and lead instructor of Velox Training Group. I've got Max, my co-host here. Max is my assistant instructor. We basically travel all over the country teaching shooting, teaching people how to shoot fast, accurate, all that jazz. Today, I have a super special guest that we haven't had on before. The man, the myth, the legend, my Sigger.
Wow. That's a hell of an introduction. That's very nice. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on, man.
I'm very happy to be here.
Cool. So
what else would I be doing tonight from my hotel room?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably watching a movie or something.
Nothing productive. That's for
Nothing productive. All right. Well, I've got a series of questions here that I think would probably make for a decent topic. So lots and lots of talk about, at least in the training industry, about like particular type of styles, right? When you hear people say like, hey, this guy does, you know, maybe a good example is, hey, this guy, you know, runs to a spot and shoots everything, or this guy shoots everything on the move, so I'm going to do that. So I think this would make for a decent topic. So lots of instructors talk about that kind of stuff. How important is it for people to do the shooting movement training style that like each type of an instructor or competitor does? Should they be looking for that kind of thing?
Well, there's a few ways to do it. A few guys, and they'll be pretty open about this. Like, I think Vogel's a really good example. If you go to a Vogel class, it's going to be like, this is the way I do it. Right. And you can be like, oh, well, what about doing it this way? Or I heard this thing or whatever. And he'll answer the questions you got. But the class, basically, it's like, this is the way I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For better or worse, whatever you think of that. Now, I like a class like that. I mean, I would go take that class. Like, but just understand that's what it is. That's not really what I do or the way I kind of look at it. Like, so good example would be like writing a practical shooting manuals. What I stopped doing, like one big shift that I did was I stopped looking at like, what is the best way to do it? And instead I would look at what are all the top guys doing? Like, what are the commonalities that we're seeing in terms of the principles of the themes, and then write kind of a descriptive, like describe what those things are. Rather, you know, and there'll be little differences and little nuances, and that's, you know, kind of like, just be like, that's fine. And then, but like, look at what are these guys doing that is similar? Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. What are some things that everyone does that's pretty, well, maybe everyone that's like at the top, say Super Squad, Carry Optics Nationals guys, like what are those guys all doing?
Right. Well, like, so yeah, you're going to see like their posture is going to be like, for example, the isosceles Weaver argument has been dead for like 20 years. Because you'd be like, you'll watch like, well, nobody's doing anything that really looks like that Weaver thing. Everyone's like, you know, the gun's more or less centered, right? Mm-hmm. They're shooting squared up to the targets. You know, like that'd be one that you look at that, you're like, that's sort of obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, well, like big picture stuff, you're like, hey, well, look at those top guys shooting. Like, watch them shoot. Do they look like they're trying that hard? Like, mm-hmm. if they're just standing still, they look like they're trying to, you're like, nah, it looks like kind of relaxed for most of that. You know, like those sorts of things that you see, like that's the stuff that I think people should key in on.
Yeah. How important is it to try different styles, whether it's movement, shooting, grip, whatever the case may be? How important is it to try these things?
I don't like that. You know what? That's a really interesting question, because I would say for the most people, like let's say trying a different gun, as far as like not even technique, you're like, you're going to try a different piece of equipment. Well, what does that really even mean? You're going to try it. And that's a serious question. What does that mean? You're going to try a different gun.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it's like, I don't know, maybe go out to a couple range sessions with it if they're going to try another gun.
So do you have a holster? Like, are you getting the whole rig? Are you doing dry fire to like support that? Right. Cause if I go do a range session with a gun, if I'm trying it to give it like a good run, like I would want to practice days ahead of time so I get comfortable with that gun. you know, all this different stuff. So when I'm actually doing the range session, when I draw the pistol, it comes up the same way every time. Like I'm not struggle bussing just to get, well, it's the same way. Like, what does it mean to try a gun? Like, that's kind of an interesting, like, try it for a season, maybe, like, really give it a run. Well, I think trying technique is even more difficult than that. Is what do you mean? Like, I'll see guys, and this is something that annoys me, I'll be honestly. I'll see a guy, like, he shoots a stage. Well, I shot this stage left to right. And then after the match, I shot it right to left. And that was better. So that I should have done that. You know what I mean? There's all these other variables here. It's like, it is very difficult to try a different style. Like, even that is a tricky thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, try it for, like, go take a class with some guy doing something different than you and really give it a run for a couple days. Maybe, like, what does that mean?
Yep. To me, it's always like, it's always better to learn through your own experience type of thing. And I think that's kind of what I'm hearing you talk about, right? So maybe you see a guy try or do something and you're like, hey, I want to go try that. So like, what, like, if you want to go try that, what would be some ways to possibly measure or discern, like, if this is working out or not?
Yeah, well, that, I mean, that's, again, that's a, like, measuring it's kind of tricky, right? So what do you mean, like, how did I do in a match? Or maybe, is it a controlled environment?
Yeah, maybe just a controlled environment.
Yes, so like a controlled, so I like take a new technique or a new style, practice it, get it to the point where I feel I'm at least competent, and then try it and like do multiple repetitions with different scenarios, really paying attention to the nuances, like video it, measure the times, that kind of thing. Like, as you can see, all that stuff, that becomes very difficult, right? The reality is most people are not going to do that. What they're going to do is someone will tell them to do something, and if it looks good and or sounds good, like it sounds good, what they're saying, like most people will be like, yep, that's the way to do it, and then they'll start doing it.
Right.
Well, I think that's what we see the most of, right? Is people, like, and I'm guilty of it too, took a JJ Ricasa class and said, yeah, he moves like I want to look. Right. I want to look like I move like that.
Yeah.
In no world am I going to move like JJ Ricasa does. Right.
No,
it's just not going to happen. But tried. And when I say try, I probably didn't give it the effort that was necessary. But I just was in my head that this is the way that I need to do it. I'm just going to work and work and work and try and do this and get frustrated that when I watch the videos of myself, I don't look anything like he looked when I was watching him do it.
Right. And that's interesting because from the competitive side, I shot against JJ for years. And in my head, it's like, I'm not going to do what he's doing. That dude's physically talented in a way that I'm not. I'm going to beat him doing something else. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Because I'm not like, I'm not beating him at doing what he's doing. Right. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have to do my own thing.
Right.
To even have a chance is how I'd look at it.
Yeah, for sure. I like it. At what point does a style or technique become a gimmick? If it's being taught.
If it's being taught? I mean, if it's like applies to a specific scenario or it's being pigeonholed into a bunch of stuff that it doesn't necessarily belong in. I see people practice to do things that don't have a lot of value, like falling out of the shooting area for like the last target you engage. For competitive shooting, for example, it's like there's not a lot of value in doing that typically, but people like the way it looks, so they want to like do that, so they train themselves to do that a lot of, you know what I mean?
Yeah So like run into a spot, shoot the target, and they could have just
like as you're falling out, it's like there was no value added for what you just did.
But you
can tell like they practiced to do that because they liked it, they liked the look of it.
It looks great on the gram.
It looks good or makes them feel good. It makes them feel like they're going faster. And that might sound stupid, but feeling fast counts for a lot to a lot of people.
It does. I can remember being in a class and like thinking that I was fast at transitions and a dude telling me that I wasn't just because I was shoving the gun around. It felt really, really fast.
Yes.
But
yes.
At the end of the day, it was not. What's some stuff that you work on in your training? Obviously, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I feel like you don't work on styles. What's some things that you do typically?
That's such a broad question.
I know.
I view it basically as like I'm polishing. I work on tools. So I want to have the best tools like for myself in terms of my skills. So it's like I'll work on focusing on a small spot. I'll work on drawing the gun and putting it right where I want, gripping the gun consistently. Like I'm working on stuff that would apply to any gun or any situation is a good way of putting it.
Well, and it's, right? It's divorced from style, essentially. I mean, no matter what style you're doing everything else in, that stuff has to be consistent.
Yeah, I mean, the closest I'll come to like style practice, like let's say I'm doing stage training, like mock stage training for USPSA. Okay, so I'll set out different positions on the ground. I'll set out a variety of different targets, and it's pretty much random. The engagement distance, the order, the movement direction, the position, entry and exit angles, that's all going to change. Right. So what I want to do is be able to shoot any target at any distance, move point A to point B to point C, like all different types of orders, like front, back, like left to right and around this thing or whatever. And I can do all the things and I never get fucked up. You know, it's like if I have to like run to the right, then slow down and back up and engage a couple targets while I've moved backwards, then accelerate back and do a run, then stop at a point. Like I want to be able to do all of that stuff and there's not a hiccup. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's more like execution type of training.
Yes, where I can. Yes, exactly. And then even executing, like you might say a little bit different style or strategy on the same scenario. It might be, you know, shoot really aggressively, then move really aggressively, and shoot and move continually, like, but on the same scenario, and I can execute either thing, you know, to a high level. Like I want to be able to do that, of course.
Yeah.
But that's the closest I'd say. I'm not like trying to do a different technique. I'm not trying to be a different shooter while I'm doing that. I'm trying to be me.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's, I think, where I see it start to get into gimmicks, where it is prescribing something for everyone. And I think I see it more when it's more granular, so less like movement things, more like styles of draw, styles of grip.
Yes.
When you get styles at the granular level, I think that's where it starts to cross the level into gimmicky. If I tell you this is my style of draw, I think it's a gimmick.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, that'll be like, what was that dipshit? Jed Linsky was like, yeah, I mean, we got to come up with a different name. This is an elevator draw or whatever. And it's like, that is gimmicky, right? That's what that stuff is. It's to have like really fine delineations between this, that, or the other technique. I mean, that's kind of an instructorism, if you ask me, like people just want like terminology to talk about.
Well, it's selling classes.
I mean, yeah, for some, like, I mean, it works for some guys.
Like tries to coin it to make it yours, essentially. I think that's why they do that.
Yeah, that's an instructorism, is to have like coin a term, you know, like invent your own drill, have your own patch or belt standard, like whatever. Like that's marketing stuff that people may or may not like.
I agree.
Is it possible? People like it. I don't think people like the results eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like people, you're going to only go so far doing those things. And like you can do the, you know, the patch challenges for a while, then eventually be like, oh, okay, I wanted to get something else out of this.
Out of the whole shooting journey. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think there's lots of people that talk about the importance of making practice really, really hard, like super tiny partials at really far distances. How do you feel about making practice like that?
I did that for a long time. I think I didn't do it the right way. So I agree, make the practice challenging, but you want to challenge yourself in the right way. And also it should be good for your psychology. So like years ago, I felt I was too slow shooting at tough targets, right? So what I do is I'd make the targets super fucking tough in training and then train myself to not miss. But my shooting and training was slower, but the targets are way more demanding than anything I saw in competition, right? Like this was less effective than, let's say, make the targets somewhat challenging and but shoot them super aggressively and then make myself do it like five times without a mistake, right? I actually got better and more accurate allowing more mistakes or shooting more penalties, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you think that's because like going at that pace maybe opened up bandwidth so you can focus a little bit easier, it didn't feel as fast, that type of thing?
Yeah, and a lot of it was just understanding it's your psychology, right? So it's the way you're wired, and then it's, you know, what challenges are you actually having here? Like to me, I needed to get acclimated. I mean, what I wanted to do in my head was like, I will never fucking miss when I'll shoot whatever stage. I've never missed. But what it was a better strategy for training was get acclimated to the speed of it, get acclimated to like seeing the sight bounce off of that little piece of brown when I have white underneath it. You know, It was just, I didn't really understand what, like I needed to make my practice hard, but it's like hard in what way?
Like, right.
What about it do you want to be hard?
Right.
And it's easy just to like, guys are like, oh, we're making it hard. And they just partial the fuck out of everything. And then it's like, well, you may have actually made it easier in a sense, because now you just shoot everything really high confirmation. And that may be easier for you. Like you may be more comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think for some people, like actually going fast is significantly harder than actually hitting stuff. Like at least for me, like I'm not a big fan of setting, you know, really far partials out for every single thing, because at the end of the day, it's like, man, I can hit that stuff. I look at those targets and it's not real scary. So it's like the open targets at 5 yards is what I don't typically like. So I try to work, like make it hard in that sense.
Well, that's great. There's this one shooter that I know and I like the guy. I do. I like him a lot, but he's like a hardcore training guy. Like he trains like a motherfucker, and he's gotten to a point where he's very, very high level for carry optics. Like if he goes to nationals, he will be top 16 for sure. But In training with this guy will show up to open enrollment classes, and he's been in classes for like the last 5 years. And if I put targets at 3 yards, I'm going to get him to miss. If I put targets at 20 yards and I put a no shoot on it, he will not miss.
Mm-hmm.
But this has not changed for years. Like I can always get him to miss when I put one at 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And guess what? Like he's not really addressed this properly in his shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, you don't want to be that. You don't want to do that.
Right.
You want to like, okay, hey, I'm struggling with this. Like I need to sort this out.
Yep. Yep. Just like getting rid of tension type of thing for those type of targets. Yeah, yeah for sure. All right. So this is something that I feel like people get super duper confused about. What is the difference in predictive and reactive shooting versus confirmation levels? Because I think
people
tend to mix those up quite a bit.
Well, I think they're conflating the concepts. They're similar, they're related, but they're different.
Mm-hmm.
So think of confirmation or aiming schemes as before you shoot, you want to see a certain thing from the target. Like you want to, or your sight's relation to the target, you want to get something. We call that confirmation because, I mean, and Juanse came up with that. That's such a great word, because what guys do isn't, they don't really aim their gun, strictly speaking. They've got a well-developed index, and then they look where they want to go. Their index goes over to that spot. And then you'll confirm based on, you know, something. Like you'll look at the sights, you'll confirm, yep, that's pointed where I want, and then shoot. That's one thing. So typically when you're shooting a red dot gun, you're either going to see the dot look like a dot and like, let's say shoot it like a bouncing ball is what I would try to do if I need to confirm a lot. Like, you know, every round needs to go like stack them on top of each other. You know, I'll confirm that sight's returning, or I'll just reference the color of the sight. I'll see the color flash on the target and then use that. And I'll shoot. Predictive and reactive shooting is different in that, like, when you're shooting predictively, you, like, based on training experience, you're shooting faster than you're going to confirm every round.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yep. Like, I'm not like, if I like fire two rounds on a target, I didn't confirm the second one. Like, I shot predictively. All right. Reactive shooting is where you react into the sight for everything.
Yeah. So predictive, you're basically through your own experience, like training experience, you know that the second round is going to be there.
Yeah, that's one way of articulating it. Right. Like, you'll like feel like the gun in your hand and you feel how the gun's tracking. And it's like, without visually confirming a round before you pull the trigger, you still know that it's going to go there.
Yeah. So would it be fair to say that like predictive and reactive is essentially describing a specific training pace that you're shooting?
No, not really. Like, the way that like Pranka came up with this, because he's smart, like, we'll talk about predictive shooting as a training strategy. That is totally a rangeism for tactical people, right? That has, like, for competitive shooting, I'll just be like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. You need to shoot as fast as you can, pull the trigger and hold the A zone. And that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter what you think. That's what you have to do if you want to do well. And there's not really like consequences for shooting misses, not real. Well, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you have to shoot this fast. And then people intuitively will start to learn to be more accurate shooting predictively. But trying to bring this concept of predictive shooting to military or law enforcement, well, now you've got a big fucking problem. Because I'm telling guys to shoot faster than they can confirm every round where it's going to go. And I know they're going to get misses when they do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the thing. So in order to sell this for training, it's like, no, this is a training strategy. This is not an engagement strategy.
I see.
Right?
I like that.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And that's why, because it's like, I know the pushback I'm going to get where they're like, oh, well, you know, every fucking bullet's got a lawyer attached to it. Right?
Yep.
So it's like, okay, I got it. This is a training strategy. That's why we're doing this. In a sense, your vision's going to catch up with what you're doing. Right. You may not see what's happening initially, but you're going to get something out of this training.
Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to get better at confirmation levels, right, because I see people try this stuff and they're like, it's really, really difficult. Like, what should I be looking for? Right. What are some things that I can maybe set up on the range? What are some things that I could do in dry fire to start to be able to like become better at this? Because obviously it's a needed skill.
Yeah, like, so the first thing is, at the most basic level, you should, and this is not to be an asshole, but this is way harder than it sounds. If I put two targets that are radically different, like a 5-yard USPSA target and a 15-yard head box, first, you should be able to shoot them and you approach them very differently. Like, just mm-hmm. watching you, it's like, it's very clear that you're doing different shit on the targets, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, at the most basic level, people need to make sure that they can engage targets differently, because I'll tell you, like, most people can't really do that. They're going to shoot the pace that they're shooting, and it may be appropriate for some targets and not for others and stuff like that. Like, people have a hard time doing that. So first, treat different targets differently. Then, through your own training experimentation, understand what you need to see on various targets and what it needs to look like, and like what you can kind of get away with. And then you start applying that, and then making the scenarios and the target layouts more and more and more complicated. And the idea is, this needs to be an intuitive process, because you're not going to be thinking about this when you're shooting for real. You just need to like look at a target, the sight flashes, and you know exactly what the sight has to look like and what it has to do.
Do you think there's a way to do that in dry fire or no?
Well, necessarily you need feedback.
Yep.
Right. You need feedback to know what sight, like what input, like what sight picture gets you what output, for one thing. And one thing I see guys get tripped up on a lot when they're doing dry fire is the gun is so still that I think guys get away with over confirming a lot in dry fire. And they don't really know that, you know?
What do you mean the gun being still?
Like, there's no recoil. The slide's not reciprocating. So they'll look at a spot and the sight will come over, and it's not bouncing at all in recoil, obviously, right? So the dot comes over, looks like a dot, and they're like, yep, cool. And then they get that concept of what it's going to look like. Then when they're shooting live ammo, the gun's moving a lot more, and they can't, they struggle to just deal with color, right? Because you can't really dry practice that well. You can dry practice reacting to color, but there's an acclimation process of like what it actually looks like with live ammo.
Right. So like going to the range and actually figuring out like, hey, this is what I need on this type of thing, on this type of target at this distance. And then when you go dry fire it, it might be kind of similar just based off of
when,
your own
experience. Yeah. When you dry fire, it's going to like everything just looks way cleaner in dry fire. Yeah. Right.
Yep. I agree.
So do you see it as more of a, it's almost, so for guys who aren't used to doing comfort or haven't trained confirmation levels, it's almost a reverse process. So set up the targets, see what the failure level is, switching between confirmation levels, and then essentially reverse engineer into, okay, what do I actually need to do on these different targets to get the hits that I need?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to understand, or like when you start out, yeah, I'm going to go punch a group at whatever, 20 yards or 25 yards. And once you understand, oh, if I just pull the trigger straight, sight will lift off and the bullet will be right there, you know? Once guys can do that, like the big lesson is like, you understand you will not do that for most targets for practical shooting, right? That is not the way you do business. You're not going to stabilize the gun, press the trigger super careful, and be stacking bullets on top of each other. It's not what you do. Mm-hmm. And then as you improve, you move the targets closer and you get faster and faster, more aggressive with how you engage them.
I gotcha. One thing that I get all the time is like, and I think this would be a good question for you to answer, is like, hey, how do I know how to grip the gun? How do I know if I'm doing it properly? Do I put my hands in a certain spot, or like, what am I looking for?
Well, what we're looking for is like Captains of Crush grippers, creatine supplementation.
I love it.
No, don't do that. like, does the gun consistently return to the spot that you want? So that'll indicate, yeah, I'm gripping it consistently and I'm focused on that spot on the target. Are you adjusting your grip and recoil? Like, you know, you see guys do that. Like, that should literally never happen. Like, never. Do you feel like at the beginning and end of a string of fire, you have the same grip tension? Did it change? Is it, in most cases, yes. And the answer that we're looking for, though, is no.
Yep.
Right. And then can you run the gun like max trigger speed without trigger freeze or something like that? Because like an overtense dominant hand is a, you know, a very common problem. So you have to be able to shoot the gun really fast. Like, so there's going to be some variation there with different guns and different fingers, but like going to be really fast.
So would you say it would be good to maybe test that in dry fire, like running the trigger really fast? Something to be said for that?
Yeah, like run, I mean, I should be able to hold the gun in my hand and have it not really move around, but still move my finger quickly and independently.
Yeah. That's typically what I tell people. Like, hey, if you can, you know, rip the gun out of the holster and maybe shoot a fast build drill, dry fire, and like you're not moving the gun around, like that would be a pretty solid test of like, all right, maybe you have consistent pressures on the gun.
That's a good starting point, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure. How much rifle training have you been doing lately?
Like myself or like other people?
For yourself.
I don't know. Like if I get to go to the range myself, my preference is to shoot a rifle, but I don't get much self-directed range time. I didn't shoot it that much, maybe 25,000 rounds last year, something like that.
Of rifle?
Yeah. With like 5X that with a handgun, at least.
Yeah, for sure. What's some things that you try to think about with the rifle mount? Because I've seen you shoot rifle, and it looks pretty shreddy. It looks good.
Yeah. The more I train, like the more I would say relaxed my mount is, like in terms of how much pressure I'm using, but more and more and more I'm on the consistency of it, like really making sure there's consistent pressure. I really emphasize like not doing anything with my firing hand except for fire control, which is kind of a weird thing. Like the guys that do like the pressure with both arms thing, like I hate that. Like that's very difficult to shoot well for me. And then the other thing I focus on is getting my vision dialed in just right, because I mean, as you extend the distance you're shooting, the lighting, the way that your sight's set, the target, like what it looks like, that's going to start to matter more and more and more.
Do you?
Right? So I'm much more sensitive to that stuff.
Do you occlude the dot with rifle training too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have rifles that I use occluded, and then I obviously shoot not occluded as well.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people don't even realize that they're looking at the dot with a rifle, especially when you get past 25 yards. And I think a lot of the reason for that is like you're seeing the dot basically lift off of the target, you know, at 40, 50 yards. And it's very, very difficult for them to look past that and look at the place where they're trying to hit.
Yeah. And then past like maybe 40 yards, most people cannot really, like, you see the target, it's like a brown shape, but it's not like you can't like focus on the letter A. Mm-hmm. Right. So target focus becomes psychological as well, then, where it's like I'm trying to lock in on the center of the target with my mind and I'm just letting the sight track off it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that's hard. Again, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to follow the sight up and down.
It's interesting that you talked about like not putting a ton of effort into that mount too. That's definitely one thing that, man, the more I train, the better that becomes. And the more I try to think about that, and like, because it seems like the more I do, the more I try to like fight the gun and the more I try to make it not lift as high, the worse the damn thing gets.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I think people conflate, you know, support hand grip pressure on a pistol to, you know, rail pressure on a rifle and are trying to do the same thing and clamp down on it. And the response from the gun is completely different.
Yeah. I mean, like putting more pressure on the rail doesn't do anything. You're probably sympathetically tensing up a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
But like just holding the rail harder is not going to do shit.
Yeah. So visually, rifle is, I mean, the visual principles are the same with rifle and pistol, other mm-hmm. than you're further back. So your focus is a little bit different. But do you find principles of movement, or I guess like we're getting back into styles, do you find that there's a different style of movement? Do you work on different movements?
Yeah. Yeah, so shooting on the move is going to be more difficult with the rifle. So you could say it's a different style, but the reality is like I can't shoot as effectively moving, but I can shoot further. So it's like static. The shooting is for sure going to be more static, I would say. Right now, for like a USPSA thing doing PCC, it's not going to be, but it's more static than the handgun shooting.
Sure. Well, in PCC and USPSA, you know, it's, I view that almost as different than rifle shooting. Now, I haven't shot a rifle match, but shooting rifle targets at rifle distances, I was treating it like a pistol and trying to shoot on the move and seeing horrible results. And
yes.
Yeah. Finding more running to a spot and then shooting was a lot more effective, but it was a different mentality, a different mindset than pistol. It's a different plan. It was a different mindset.
PCC PCC is very fast, and it's like it strips away stuff like the connection, mount connection consistency is going to be different with a PCC, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm shooting, you know, a 14.5 mid-length gun with like a three prong on it, that's like a overgas BCM gun, like it snaps a little bit. If I don't hit my mount, like I am booty holed. Even shooting 40, 50, 60 yards, like if I want that thing whipping right back to where I want, it better be right.
Yeah.
But are you putting it like it pays dividends with a PCC to not think that way? If it's like you missed the mount a little bit, I'm sure like, fuck it, just send it.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. 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 Where do you like to mount the gun on your shoulder? Is it more center line? Is it more?
It's not actually center line, but yeah, it's like right in the muscle pocket here. That's what I prefer. If people see me online shooting sometimes, like where the gun's off of there, like that's just to accommodate plates.
Yep.
Right. So like for the places that I go, like it might be like I can just shoot with no kit on, like no one gives a shit, but they might get the question like, well, how do I do this with kit? Yep. And it's like the easiest solution, I think, like some guys want to shorten up the stock and then like ride the plate with the stock. I don't like that because I can't feel what I'm doing. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, if it needs to be perfect and consistent in order to get the return I want, like I want to feel what I'm doing.
Yep.
So I get just off the plate entirely. And then it, like, off the plate, if the plate goes to here, well, I can't plan to have my stock like right up against the plate, because if I'm coming on and off, like, I can't get, you know what I mean? So I have to get even further out just to stay the hell off the plate.
Yep. Man, I find when I mount my stock in between like my pec and my shoulder muscle, it feels like it I don't have to do a whole lot for the gun to just return. Opposed to if I put it center line, especially with I shoot an 11.5-inch gun with a 4-prong on it. It almost feels like it has like a hinge at the back. Like it lifts way higher when I put it center line. I feel like it's like coming to a complete stop, making the gun kind of hinge. Whereas if I put it a little bit further out, it's almost like it gives it a place to go. And it's very, very minimal effort. Like it's not like I'm trying to return the gun or anything. It just returns.
But you know that pocket? I think the thing about that is that pocket just gives you a very consistent spot.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I think, I mean, honestly, like it, as far as much as I can test it, I think consistency counts so much. It's uncomfortable and I don't like it, but I have to blade off more. But if I'm mounting the gun out here, like I can do basically the same stuff, even though it feels horrible, but I have to have very consistent pressure with everything. But if I have that index point on my body, it's like, oh, this little pocket, like I'll just put the stock in there every time. And it, you know what I mean? It makes it easier to hit that.
I agree. And to me, that like little pocket right there, it puts meat behind the gun without having to go center line. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like the back of the stock is flat up against my shoulder. It's not like it's canted and making the gun track up into the right or some weird place. Like my gun just kind of just does this around the spot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's the other thing with different muzzle devices and just exactly how you're standing. Like if you know what I mean, like you just change the angle of your feet and it has a pretty dramatic effect. And you just want to make sure that you're, I think, behind the gun and it's not like, you know, like coming off you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Have you explored doing this with a muzzle brake, like right next to a flash hider?
Yeah.
So what was some of the things that you saw? Like, could you get away with a ton with the muzzle brake?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like more like the PCC. It's just like, it's not a PCC. Like, well, I mean, with how much gas you're running, it might even be like move less, but it's going to be so much louder, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a different thing. It's like the more raced out the gun is, it's like the faster you have to be. And it's like, yeah, you miss your mount a little bit. It's like, it'll still track back to where you want.
So do you see any merit in training with a brake?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's merit in training with a brake. It's kind of like, do I see merit in training with a Staccato XC? Yes. Sure. Right. There's merit in that. And I like shooting it. But to me, it's like, this is now like everything. It's like, it's happening faster. I'm shooting at a further distance. You know what I mean? Like I just have to go faster. You know what I mean? Things have changed. So is there a merit to doing that? Yeah. Like there's merit in shooting them for sure.
As long as you understand what it is.
Well, like for like what I do for work, like I can't go to work with that gun.
Right.
I cannot use that.
That's what I'm saying. So as long as you're
not allowed.
As long as your expectations are, I won't be able to shoot when I go back to a 3-prong, I won't be able to shoot the same way I was shooting with a brake. Or is that you're seeing in the sight then?
I mean, I think it's just the way you won't be able to shoot the same way, but it's like, well, if you're shooting a fucking 60-yard target, like you're shooting a 30-yard target with your 3-prong, you know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, I think you get a lot out of it. But again, to me, it's like, if I'm changing the equipment, it's going to change what the training looks like. I'm going to try to get the most out of it no matter what it is.
Right. Yeah. So So merit, yes, but the training strategy is going to be different, just like it would be with a Staccato or an Atlas versus a Glock.
Yeah. And it's like, being honest, like shooting my 2011 makes me better with a Glock. But it takes, you know what I mean? Like it takes time to enjoy that. Shooting a Glock makes me better with a 2011.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, Yeah. And I've noticed the same stuff with like with the rifles. Like if I have a like a device, if I have a gun setup that I just don't like and I don't find comfortable, it's like, is that going to make me better? Yeah. It was like, if I have a setup that it's really racy, it's really fast, do I get a lot out of that? Yeah, but it's different.
Yeah. For me, it's like, man, set it up for whatever the heck you're doing. Like I get this question all the time. Like, hey, what muzzle device or how should I set this thing up? It's like, I don't know, man. If you're going to go shoot three gun, like by all means, put a muzzle brake on it. Like for me, for training purposes, I think it's a really good idea to set it up for, you know, sure. Well, with a three prong or something like that.
If all you're doing is shooting PCSL, it doesn't make any sense to put it in hard mode and shoot with a three prong just to make it harder, because mm-hmm. you're not going to be training to what you're actually going to be seeing when you're shooting your raced out comped gun.
I mean, that makes sense to me. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I would say my own training, I kind of felt I got a lot out of when I even like fuck flash hiders, fuck comps. I just like just shooting the snappiest three prong. Like that was the best for me. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
And now shooting different setups, I can actually appreciate them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, because it's essentially putting it on hard mode. And if you could shoot that thing, chances are you could probably shoot the thing with the muzzle brake.
Right. But, yeah, I don't think it goes the other way, but I think, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
That's kind of weird, because it's like the muzzle brakes are like kind of a no-go for most like real use, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like a flashbang in a house, so...
It's obnoxious. Like I don't like, that's one thing is like, I don't like shooting with other people when they have brakes on their guns.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, class.
Unfortunately we had a guy at class this past weekend that had one, and it was like, man, everyone was just like moving further and further away from him. And we were like, hey man, not making fun of you, but like, would you mind shooting this gun? Like I had a spare gun for him to shoot. He was like, yeah, sure.
Did he like that?
I mean, he seemed okay with it.
Yeah. I think he was new enough that he didn't know what he didn't know, right? So it was, I don't think he wasn't at the level where he was discerning the difference between them, quite frankly. So I think it was more of a just, let's make it pleasant for everyone else here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ended up working out pretty good, though. Well, cool, man. This was a good, like, plethora of different questions that I think we had set up for you. I think it was pretty good.
Speed round?
Speed round?
I'm just fucking around, dude, but we could do a speed round.
We could do a speed round. Last question. If you had to pick one thing that is mega annoying about social media, what would it be?
Oh, Christ.
I'll be honest. I have a pretty good relationship with social media. Like, I do, but I think I think people don't understand that like most people do not give a shit about social media like at all. You know what I mean? Like people don't care. Now it's like I'm on there for work. Like I don't care about like I do not care about being on Instagram. Like I'm not on there for any person. I don't post anything about my personal life. Like people just don't like people would. It's like people think they know me, but they wouldn't know me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I don't care about this. But what's funny is the guys that, and some of my friends fall into this too. They get so wrapped up, like they get mad that other people are saying stuff on social media that they don't agree with. They're like, how the fuck can they say that this is the right, like fucking, right? What are they arguing about now? Like having the safety on or off with their rifle when they're clearing houses. That was the thing I saw on social media today. That's what they're mad about. It's like, people don't understand how much they just get like whipped around by like what other people are mad about that day. Yeah. Whereas like, that's like, to me, like that is not even a real fucking discussion. Like, should your safety be like, I've never, like I go on ranges a lot. And it's like never been like a real question of like how you're going to use your safety. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, it's never, so it's like in a way it's kind of I know it's not completely fake, but it's like, you're keying in on, it's like it's not a real discussion. There's a few people that are idiots, I would say, but it's not like at high levels with like real dudes, like this is not a real thing.
But you can find a video of anybody doing anything. That doesn't mean that it's a widespread issue that we should all be getting wound up about.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like the firearms training industry is not, I wouldn't, it's like training is not really stagnant. There's been changes in the last 5 years, but guns are kind of boring. Like there's not much changing. Not that much needs to change. It's a it's a tool, right? Yep. So it's like, but people like always are talking like there's all this stuff happening. There's all this news. Like there's not that much happening.
People love to talk about gear. They love to talk about gear and never want to talk about training.
And right. So it's like, do I like that? No, I don't. But what do I go talk about on YouTube? I go talk about gear because you meet people where they are. They want to talk about gear. So it's like, okay, I'll talk about gear. And if some of them get like interested in training or they want to do this or that, great. But you've got to kind of meet people where they are.
I agree. Dude, my biggest YouTube video so far is legit. Me and Joel just standing there for, I think it's like 40 minutes talking about how we set up our rifles, and people loved it on YouTube. And it's like, that's what people want to hear about on YouTube.
Right. But we've like, I guarantee you, if we were at a range, like going to train or going to practice a little bit, we would not, that would not be a conversation. Like we it wouldn't even be discussed. We'd be like, I don't give a fuck. It might be like, oh, you have that new thing. Like, do you like it? And you'd be like, yeah, it's all right. Like, okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. We had a guy this weekend who was getting annoyed by it. He just wanted to talk to us about training. And everybody wanted to talk about gear and gear setup, like, optic heights and optics and what plate are you running? And he's just over it.
Yeah, I mean, man, after, I mean, I get it. I get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Where, because if you want to do training, you don't, you get your gear and it's like, then the gear doesn't matter that much.
Yes.
If I had a more conventional life where I wasn't traveling all the time, like my training gear would just live in the back of my truck. And then I go out to the range and I do my practice that day. And then I go do other stuff.
Yep.
It's like, it, you know what I mean? It's not, it just lives there. I use it. Maybe at the end of the season, I'll look at it if there's something I might want to change. It's not the focus of what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why like the majority of people are pretty surprised. Like if they ask probably either one of us, hey, what rifle should I get and how should I set it up? It's like, dude, get a 14 and a half inch gun from a popular manufacturer, put a freaking red dot on it and go train. And it's like, oh, that's it. It's like, yes, that's it.
That's good advice. Just get one, get your arrow precision with what kind of dot is good? Your sight mark on there and send it.
Yeah.
most of the gear discussions out there now are again, they're divorced from, look, the point of this gear is to facilitate the kind of shooting you want to do. If you don't know how to make that connection, I can't help you.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, most people don't know what they really want to do. I think that's what's kind of weird is it starts and guys like look at, oh, it's an operator. And then they're like, well, what's all that kit or whatever, you know, like what got like what's all that stuff that guy has? And like not understanding. It's like, do you understand the training and lifestyle that goes into that? It's like the kit is a tiny piece of this.
You see a lot of guys with plate carriers with backpacks on it that are empty.
It looks cool as hell.
Yeah.
Does it?
I don't know. I bet the guy that has to wear it probably, like, if he gave him a choice, he'd be like, nah, let me take this shit off to go shoot.
Yeah, like most of that stuff is like, do I want to go like hump like 80 pounds of gear through mountains and shit like that? No. Do I like the, like most stuff that these guys have to do fucking sucks. Like riding in a helicopter is fun. Riding in a helicopter for 3 fucking hours in the middle of the night is not fun.
Yes.
See what I mean? It's just like, it's very different things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, even on the, just the raw shooting side, I mean, what was our last big fight? Nick, was optic height?
Yeah, probably so.
What was the fight?
I feel not like that's us, just versus the world. Everybody running high optics and not understanding how that translates to their shooting, right? So
yeah,
but then trying to force people to make that connection is impossible.
People get very like bent out of shape talking about optic height stuff. And I think it's just because maybe that's what they have. And they feel like I'm making fun of it when I talk about it. It's like, no, I'm actually not making fun of it. I'm just saying the things that I don't like about it. And I've explored, like I had high mounts for years. So it's like, I have a lot of experience talking about this stuff or using this stuff. But yeah, people get really bent out of shape talking about the high mount stuff. Like if you disagree with it.
It's interesting. Well, I don't give a shit what height optic guys have on there.
Dude, me neither.
That was it.
It's like,
that's the thing.
I don't care. It's like, it doesn't make any difference to me. It's yeah. Like when you need to hit the credit card at 5 yards, we'll see if you know your holdover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I'm watching the rifle bounce around on you because your face is completely disconnected from the rifle, and I ask, well, you know, is there a reason you have a high mount? Is you know, what are you giving up? You're giving up that connection point. Why are you doing that? If you can articulate to me like this is the reason why I'm doing it and giving this up, then you know, fine, whatever. But if you can't articulate why you've chosen to give up a point of connection just because you want this high optic.
Yep.
I have no time on it.
Because I want to be like the Goobers.
The Goobers.
Well, you got to get the socks. The
Goobers. I already have the t-shirts. Good, I actually good. Quite like the t-shirts. They're high quality. Like, I genuinely like the GBRS t-shirts.
Someone randomly sent me a GBRS socks out of the blue. And it took That's me awesome. Like a day and a half to figure out who the fuck actually did that.
Did he send you new beat off socks or something?
They were not used. So no, they were in a plastic package. Well, I meant
package. They're for you. They're for you.
I don't think they're soft enough for that. So no, probably not. No.
Well, I'm glad you assessed them for beat off. That's good.
They do say be a pro on it.
Be a pro in your new
wank
sock.
That's their thing. They have that. Be a pro. Like that's actually a great tagline because it's like, well, what does that even mean? Like you're selling stuff to people that are absolutely not pros.
Right.
Like they're amateurs.
Like, yeah. Striving to be a professional, Ben, with these socks on.
Right, but you dress for the job you want, man.
Dude, exactly. Exactly. Dude, I'm going to wear them in the summertime with like shorts. Shorts, the freaking Vans, the whole shit.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Ben, I appreciate you coming on.
Very much.
Where can people find you if they want to come take a class? Are there any classes left that are not full?
I'm pretty busy, truthfully, and I feel a little bad about it. If you go to bensteger.com, you can see my schedule. Practical Shooting Training Group for Digital Coaching, that's pstg.us. You can search my name on Amazon if you want books, and I have a YouTube channel. I'm at Ben Steger. Shadow Band of Shit on Instagram, but if you type in my name perfectly, Ben Steger, with no spaces or dashes or anything, you will also find me.
Yes.
So these are where I can be found.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. You're very welcome.